What's interesting is I was, you know, as I was looking at stuff to share this evening, I kept coming back to the same theme. I kept looking at different things, and I kept coming back to the same theme. And so I guess somebody here must need to hear this stuff. Romans chapter 2. You know, so many times we talk about, I mean, we do talk about the goodness of God. And for a long time, this verse here in Romans chapter 2 was my theme verse. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. It says, "Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads thee to repentance?" That was, for a long time, this was my theme verse for probably 2 or 3 years. I don't think I've got a theme verse right now. But, you know, this was kind of what I was, you know, because we talk to people and, you know, so many people think that it's God's punishment or God's anger or God's wrath that should change people. But no, it's God's goodness that should change you. It's the knowing what God can do for you is what should change you. And so it's interesting because this verse talks about His riches, His goodness, and His forbearance and longsuffering, you know, where He's putting up with you. I mean, really, God puts up with a lot out of us. God really does put up with a lot. And that's part of why we should want to do what we do. Why we want to do what God wants us to do is because of God's goodness. That's what it should be about. And really, if you really look at the Bible, the New Testament, the church epistles, so much, very little of this, so much of it is about God's goodness, and very little of it is about God's wrath or God's punishment. But what we're going to talk about tonight is doing the Word. And what you want to do is, of course, you want to do it with a good heart. So, verse 5, "But after thy hardness and an impotent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds." So it is God blesses you, but at the same time, you know, you've got to do the right thing, or you can expect that, you know, God may have a little bit of reward for you going the other way. But what we want to do is we want to look at what God can do for us when we do what's right. And so I want to talk about that tonight. And let's go to 1 John chapter 2. Because, you know, I spend a lot of time, like I said, talking about the goodness of God. But at the same time, we need to understand that in this life, you know, you can't just do as you feel well please. You've got to, at some point, you know, that remember what was popular a few years ago? What would Jesus do? You've got to look at a situation and you've got to say, what would Jesus do? And really, when you want to do the right thing is when the spotlight is off, when nobody knows what's going on, and when it's just you and God. Because that's really where the rubber meets the road. And the other time when you'll know if you're doing the right thing is when it comes to money. Because so many times people will talk about doing the right thing, but when it comes to money, they won't. And what I'm talking about is it's amazing what people will do for a few bucks. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. "And hereby," chapter 2, verse 3, "And hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected." Wait, I read that again. Sorry. Verse 6. "He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk even as He walked." We always need to look at our life. And we used to use the expression, take a checkup from the neck up. Look at our lives and make sure that, you know, what we're doing matches up with what God would have us to do. And understand that, you know what, God will bless you and God rewards you. He'll reward you just for being His kid and just for being His son. You know, I mean, God will give you so many things. But boy, God will, when you really look at your life and you really desire to do the right things, that's when God will really can double the blessings and triple and quadruple the blessings. You know, it's funny, I was thinking about this and I thought to myself, because I know all of you guys pretty much, and I thought to myself, Nobody here really needs to hear this stuff. I mean, we're all pretty good people, right? But I guess somebody does. I don't know. But anyway, so you know what? If the shoe fits, wear it. If it doesn't, don't worry about it. James chapter 1. And really, what are the big commandments? The big commandments are what? It's really not the big 10, it's the big 2. The big 2. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hang the law, all the law and the prophets. So that's really what it, that's really what it's about. And the biggest, the commandment is to walk in love. There's a place, and I may have it in here, some of my notes, I can't remember, where Jesus said, they will know you are my disciples by what? How you love each other. Well, by your fruit, but how you love each other. Jesus said, they will know you are my disciples by how you love one another. Let's go to James chapter 1. And really what I want to talk about is not just, you know, being good and being right and being nice, but also believing. Believing the Word. Believing what God says and changing your thoughts to match what God says. That's really what it's about as well. James chapter 1. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Well, this is one I need to hear sometimes, huh? I'm sorry, verse 19, James 1:19. And think about this next time you want to get mad and lose your temper. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. If there's anything that people have trouble with, it's anger, you know? Everybody knows somebody with an anger problem. If it isn't you, or somebody in your family, you know somebody. We all do. We all know people who have anger issues, right? And this is, boy, the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness with superfluity of naughtiness. That's a King James word, isn't it? Superfluity of naughtiness. It means wickedness. Superfluity of naughtiness means an abundance of wickedness. And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Meekness is the ability to be led, to not fight or argue when somebody's teaching you the truth. That's meekness. Coachability is how it's said sometimes. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein. Right? Remember Jesus said in John chapter 8, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You've got to continue in it. It's got to be living in you. And not just going, okay, I'll do it because it's what I have to do. No, it's doing it from the heart because it's what you want to do. It's the desire to please God. You know, like I said, if I love my wife, I want to make her happy. Right? I think I do it most of the time. Right? Don't answer that. Don't answer that. Yeah. It's the same way with God. Is if you love God, you want to please God. Why? Because you love Him. And you know what? God will do things for you just because He loves you. So let's see, where did we get to? But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. That's what you want. You want to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Of course, one of my favorite verses. You've all heard me teach this probably a bunch of different times. Verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is God-breathed, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And the purpose of the Word is this, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished, completely and totally perfect, under what? Completely equipped to do what? All good works. Most of you have heard me teach on this plenty of times where I talk about the ship going off to sea, right? And how this fully equipped, it means like a thoroughly furnished is fully equipped like a ship going to sea, right? Where God has given you everything absolutely you need to do His work. Absolutely everything. That's the goal of what God does for you, is gives you His Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, the ability to love, the ability to pray, the ability to minister. To do what? To do His work. And why? We know, to draw people to Him. That's what God wants you to do. Okay, Ephesians chapter 2. And it's real easy, you know, to get up and walk out of here, and you get out of bed tomorrow and you're the same person you were yesterday. Don't be that person. Be somebody different. Be somebody who wants to really serve God and to do God's work. Who wants to do those good works to bring people to Him. Ephesians chapter 2. And a lot of these verses we've looked at a lot. Verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, through believing, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship. We are God's masterpiece, God's creation. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. And remember the culmination. This right here is the culmination of where God is talking about where He set you as His child, where He set you on high in verse 6. It says, He has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might demonstrate or show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. God demonstrates His grace to all His creation by pointing out what He did for us. That's how He demonstrates. So people will look at us and go, man, they didn't deserve that. Those people, I would have wrote them off a long time ago. But God didn't. God in His abundance of grace and abundance of love saved you. And it is His demonstration of His mercy and His grace. The salvation of you and me. That's His demonstration. That's how He shows. That's how He shows off how merciful and how graceful He is. And so what is your response? To do His work. That's what your response is. Matthew chapter 5 in verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Your good works should always be to glorify God and never yourself. And you know, it's easy to become kind of wrapped up in yourself. It really is, as you're... You know, I mean, I know I talked to Rico, and a lot of you guys know him, where he, you know, he's got a great healing ministry, and he always has to, he says back, and he goes, you know, people are like, oh, Rico, thank you this, thank you, you know, thank you, blah, 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 and it's never about the person, it's always about God. What we do is never to glorify us, it's always to glorify Him. That's what it's always to do. It's always about God. So let your light shine. You are the lights of the world. And how do you become the lights of the world? By glowing for Him. Through your works, through your speech, what you say and what you do. Philippians. Oh, wow.
I can see the light.
Wow. Talking about the light. Wow. Hear the light. Okay, Philippians chapter 2. Tell me where that was. That was Acts what? Okay, let's go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. This is the one I was thinking of. Okay, Philippians 2:15. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. That's how you shine as lights, by doing the good works, by speaking, by holding forth the Word. And by the way, holding forth the Word isn't just with words, it's with action. Right? It's with action. Remember, preaching You preach the word by what? A demonstration of God's power. Not just with words, but with a demonstration of God's power is how you speak the word. Well, not just practice what you preach. That you do that, but also by praying for people, ministering to people, healing people. It's not just with words, it's with actions as well. That's how you hold. That's how you really hold forth the word. But yeah, certainly practice what you preach. John chapter 10. Okay, verse 37. And this is where Jesus says, look, if you want to, you don't have to believe me by my words. Believe me by my works. Verse 37, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him. If you don't want to believe Jesus by his words, then look at the works that he did and believe him based on his works. And you know what? We should all have the same attitude where we want people to look not just at our words, but at what we do. James chapter 2. We've already been to James chapter 1. Now we're going to go to James chapter 2. Verse 14. James chapter 2, verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith or believing and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace and be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. And of course, verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Matthew chapter 23. One thing that is sort of, you know, I know a lot of people who know a lot about the Bible. And then I know people who don't know very much at all about the Bible. And really the issue isn't how much Bible you know, it's how much Bible you believe. And it's not just, and how you show what you believe is what you do. Well, and it's interesting, we were just talking earlier about, in the other room before fellowship, about how you can make the Bible pretty much say anything you want. I mean, you really can. You can make it say almost anything. You can quote a verse, and you can give it a twist, or you can, you know, make it say a certain thing, and you can make the Bible say anything. I mean, just look at all the denominations in the world, you know. They all are different. There's a little difference. And, you know, I'm not being critical. I'm just saying that there's a lot of different ways to look at the Bible. And so you always want to take a look at it in a very honest fashion, looking at it as a whole, not just taking verses out of context. And one of the worst things you can do is what I call mental assent. And what that is where you confess to believe something with your mouth, but do not show it with your actions. Matthew 23 is where Jesus talked about that. Well, and listen, none of us are perfect, okay? I mean, we're all going to fall short. That's why Jesus Christ had to come. We're all going to fall short. And really, here's what God expects out of you. He expects an honest effort. That's what He expects. He doesn't expect perfection because He knows He's not going to get it. Okay? God expects you to do your best. And really, that's about it. And you don't do your best. You know what you do? You pick yourself up, you ask God to forgive you, and you go on and you try to keep going. And that's what you do. There's so many things in life that we try to do ourselves. And you can't. You go to God and you ask God to help you in the areas that you fall short, that you can't get there. You ask God to help you. And God will help you. He will help you. You know, there's the place where, you know, the disciples were trying to heal this boy. They came to Jesus and they said, well, look, your disciples can't heal him. I mean, what's the problem? And he turns to the father of the boy, and he turns to the father and he says, all things are possible to him that believes. And so the man said back to Jesus, Lord, help my unbelief. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. See, even believing, you don't have to do it all yourself. You can ask God to help you with your believing. anything and everything you can help, have ask God to help you, that you say to God, come in and work in me. I give you permission. God will never cut across your freedom of will, right? He'll never do it. But you ask God to help you where you need help, and He will help you. You give Him permission. So many times when I pray with people, that's one of the things I pray for, is I say, you know, to them, you know, allow God to come in and work in you. And that's what, and that's one of the things that, that we work on, is everything in life, you don't have to do any of it yourself. God can help you with anything and everything. There's a man that, that Rose and I used to listen to a lot. He's passed away, but his grave said, I wish I were the man I knew to be. And I think we can all say that. I wish I were the man I knew to be. Because you'll try your whole life and you're never going to get there. But God wants you to continue to try. And that's what's important, is your effort. I want to give everybody a challenge. Between now and next week, pray for one person at least. Okay? Try that. Pray for somebody. Okay?
Just study.
Pray for, and when I say pray for somebody, pray to them, to their face. That's what I mean. Or on the phone or something. In other words, yeah. But you know, but that's what I said. Or on the phone. In other words, I mean, pray for someone, to someone. Yeah. Try that. One person, whoever it is, you're going to run into somebody in the next week that has a need. And you know what? You say, I'm just going to pray for you right now. Whatever it is. Okay. Well, let's go to Matthew chapter 23. Well, let's look at it then. Look down at Matthew 23. And then spake Jesus to the multitude and his disciples. Verse 2. Saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. That's a very important high seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works. For they say and do not. In other words, do what they say, but not necessarily what they do. Because they really don't do the right thing. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. For all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries. And you're like, what's a phylactery? That's the phylactery is the big, I think it's the big robe that they wear, you know. In other words, these are the leaders in the temple, right? They would walk around with these big, long, flowing robes so that everybody who sees them will know who they are, right? Everybody will know who they are. They've got these nice, big, long, I'm sure, probably ornate, probably, you know, colored, that, you know, everybody would, that, you know, everybody else is kind of probably dressed in, you know, brown and tan and whatever, you know. And these guys are walking around in this nice, colorful robe. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. They'll have these, you know, tassels and fringes and these things that will attract people's attention. And love the uppermost rooms at the feast and the chief seat in the synagogues and greetings in the market and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. That's what they like. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your Master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. Now you think about this. See, really God's Word, and we still do it to people today. You know, we reverend so-and-so and reverend this. And I'm not saying you shouldn't take and give men their due, but at the same time, you know, really God treats us all the same. We really are all the same. I always tell the story about Ken Petty, you know, who he's a, I mean, boy. There aren't many people that can teach the Word like Ken Petty can teach. Those of you who've heard him know what I'm talking about. And he's ordained, but he doesn't like to be called reverend because it bugs him. It bugs him to be called reverend. And one time somebody said, well, why don't you like to be called reverend? He's like, you know, I just don't like it. You know, God doesn't make distinctions in His Word between people, and really, I don't like to either. Sometimes it goes to people's head, frankly, and that's where it becomes wrong. And lawyers are bad about it too. You know, well, you know, I mean, I've heard people that are doctors. It's Dr. So-and-so. Well, I knew somebody had a PhD, and they always wanted to be called doctor. A PhD, they always had to be Dr. So-and-so. Who have you healed recently? So when you see them on the street, you know. There's the guy. there's the guy. I don't want to miss him. I mean, you know, it's not my intent to criticize somebody, okay? That's not my intent. It's just, it's really more the heart of the matter. It's not about you, it's about God. Verse 11, "For he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." It really is about, you know, it's about your walk with God and what you do, and what you do is not about being puffed up or exalting yourself and bringing, you know, bringing attention to yourself, but it's about doing it for God. Okay, let's go to Luke chapter 6. And here's the verse that you were talking about earlier, I think, probably. Verse 43, "For a good tree," Luke 6:43, "for a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." So that's what it's about. Let's keep reading. I want to just read till the end of the chapter. "And why ye call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" If you say I'm your Lord, why don't you mind? Why don't you do what I say? Why don't you follow me? "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like the man which buildeth a house and digs deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood rose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house, he could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great." We'll close it out in Colossians chapter 3. Yeah, ultimately you show the word in your life by your fruit. So if you love God, do what He would have you do, not because you're afraid of what's going to happen to you, but because of the blessings that God is going to give you when you do what's right. Colossians chapter 3. Oh, let's see, where do we start? Verse 17. "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily." And that word heartily literally means with all your soul. It's the Greek word psuche, which is from where we get the word, from where they translate the word soul. "And whatsoever you do, do it with your entire being, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ." Think about that. Just by working hard, God gives you blessings. That's a principle. Hard work. God rewards you. God blesses you just for working hard. "But he that doeth wrong shall receive of the wrong which he hath done." There is no respect of persons. Right? So do the right thing. But don't do the right thing because of what you're afraid will happen. Do it because of what you know God will give you. Okay? Amen? Okay.